This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street. Or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today.
The Voice Within, your connection between this world and the next. Brought to you by Infinity Spiritual Centre, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
Greetings, I'm Barry. Lee Harris has been talking to Inspired Evolution, and he's got predictions for the next 3 years. With what's going on in the world at the moment, it seems very relevant.
The cyclone of world change is moving everywhere. There's a lot flying around right now, and it's rising to the surface. And what my guides have always said is it would have to get worse before it would get better. The second half of the year is a bit more wild. One of the most challenging things about this time is we're in a very prophesied time of unrest, uncertainty. There are agendas that are not serving humanity. We're seeing a lot more tension between people and those in control of our systems. We're actually in a period of time where our job is to reclaim power that has been stolen from us. The overarching thing I could feel was how exhausting these times are for everyone. There is this kind of overwhelm, and yet within it, and this is the interesting part, spiritual energy is ratcheting up in people's lives. More people are having more mystical experiences, ET experiences. My guides, the Z's, had said, you're going to go through times on Earth that will, in a way, dismantle your old world. And in tandem with that, you will see a massive rise in consciousness.
It takes a toll on you to be channeling some information like this from the Z's as well. How do you navigate that? How does that weigh on you personally?
You ask such great questions, by the way. No, I'm not imagining I'm going to be doing this for the next 4 years. I'm not resigning or retiring yet, but
you have been so prolifically creative. There is content coming online, you're doing a bunch of interviews, there's a lot of your own energy updates, but even between the energy updates now, I've noticed we're getting little micro updates as well in terms of this is coming up, this is a theme, feminine rising. You've been doing a lot of work, but I was wondering if there's something that you think people, even though they're watching, you feel like they're not fully grasping, having listened to all of it. Do you get a sense of anything like that? Is there something that we're watching all of this, but we're not fully grokking?
God, that's a really good question. And you know what? I wouldn't actually probably be the person to ask, because I'm aware that the different pieces of work I do in the different areas, they actually intersect with different people. And, you know, I just got back off this 5-week tour across North America, and I was quite struck in those audiences how there was a unity, and there is a unity in the people who gather, but everyone's a bit different. You know, some people are really into more of the esoteric or the channeling. Some people are more into the more grounded, intuitive stuff. Some people were there for the music. So I don't know if the people who tune in on this work aren't grokking something. The one thing I hear the most is that people are frustrated with what they see in the outside world. You know, people who gather around this kind of work, there is often this pain point around, I wish I was seeing more evidence of a shift in the way that we live our lives, or a shift in the outside world. Yeah, but I will also say, you know, having seen comments and things over the years, people are all very different, you know, how they perceive things, how they take things. And again, it would depend on which aspect of my work they were looking at.
Can I double click on that frustration, if that's okay? Because it's interesting that you pointed to that. I mean, what's at the heart of that? People are feeling like they're applying themselves to their inner work, and yet they're not seeing an outer world that's matching their inner reality. Is that, am I articulating it to a certain degree?
Yeah, I think a lot of the people that will take my courses or come to the events, or they're in the portal community, generally the thing that's quite similar is sensitivity. So there is a developed sensitivity in those people, whether they are a little more aligned towards humans or animals and nature, or there is usually a desire, and also they're working often in the world to try and help bring a better world about for humanity. And so the frustration I often hear, and I get it too, is people hope and wish that we were seeing more evidence of a newer society beginning to emerge. And the one thing I think I notice is conversations now between people. I mean, even a show like yours, even the fact that work like mine, which was much more niche 20 years ago when I, you know, 22 years ago when I started.
Borderline obscure. Yeah.
very much. And so I see now the proliferation of emotional awareness, energetic awareness, spiritual awareness, personal awareness, world awareness. You know, there is a growth of awareness on the planet. I think the frustration or the difficulty is we're still in this bottleneck around what's allowed to emerge. And I think that's where we're seeing a lot more tension happening now between people and those in control of our systems at the moment. And so it's an interesting one. I think there are lots of people who want to do more progressive things, but either the laws prohibit them from doing it, or there isn't support for it. So that's the tension that I am perhaps most aware of from listening to people's challenges with just being alive on Earth right now.
What, I mean, because I think it's pretty obvious that you would identify as a sensitive as well.
Yes. Yeah.
How do you keep yourself rooted through this is one question. And then a second question, sorry, it's rude of an interviewer to ask two questions at once, but I'm Indian, more is more, sorry, not Italian, less is not more. How do you rudder yourself through times like this? And then also, the other, being sensitive, the other question is, for some of the people tuning into your work, they would love to be doing work similar to what you do. And what do you think it is about you that gives you permission to step into the fore the way that you have? Two questions.
Okay, so what keeps me rudded? A few different things. I think, honestly, the main thing for me is usually people. You know, whether it's my family, my friends, my partner, the team I work with, it's a connection with the people I'm connected to. Although I also need time away. You know, I am someone who I'm a bit of a, there was a guy I interviewed a few years back, Paul Samuel Dolman, lovely guy, has a great podcast called What Matters Most. And he described himself as an extrovert recluse. And it was completely related. I thought, oh my God, yeah, I can, because I can be very extrovert when I'm with people, but then I need to take myself away and
hide in your cave,
be alone and kind of unravel. So I would say, you know, what keeps me rudded normally is I do work out. That's really important to me. And that's something I only brought into my life 8 years ago. So a physical exercise practice that keeps me going. I channel for myself. I'm very connected to this kind of work. Nature is important. A certain amount of quiet and then a certain amount of people time, but it's a balance. And, you know, I just took 3 weeks away from work, which I can't remember when I've ever done that really, but I did it post the tour and post an 8 month period of quite busy work. So I knew I needed to reset. And it was interesting how rudderless I felt. You know, it's that thing that when you stop, everything kind of catches up with you. And so my fantasy about that 3 weeks was, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to tidy that cupboard and I might do some painting. And no, not at all. I was in a process of unraveling all that I had been through, the world, personal stuff, everything. And I found myself really having to just sit with feelings, memories, thoughts, timelines that were just moving through me very intensely. So interestingly, I feel a bit more rudded now for having given myself to that, if you like, cleanse or purge is kind of what it felt like. Yeah. So yeah, those are some of my things. Water is very important to me. Being in water is very important to me. So yeah, simple practices, and they change. I have to change it all the time depending on the amount of stress in my world, the amount of stress in the world that I'm usually having to speak to, if not on a weekly basis, definitely every other week I have to engage with world energies.
It's interesting that you mentioned relationships, because you're also in the process of either you've put together a course or it's about to come out, Empaths and Narcissists.
Mm.
Why this at this particular moment in time?
So I did a course, Empaths and Narcissists, in 2018. It came out. And at the time, no one was really talking about it. Now there's so much out there, which is brilliant. But back then it was, again, very niche. And I'd had my own epiphany about it, because I had a few experiences in my life where I was in one of those dynamics where you're pouring more of your empathy and more of you're more in the giving zone with someone who's behaving in a more narcissistic way. So I'd had a few goes at this in my own life. And the worst one, the biggest one, took me about a year and a half to recover from, and then was probably a series more years of going through other layers. And what was interesting to me was I would do these workshops and people would show up and they'd start talking about this dynamic. And it's funny how that works. If you do healing work, often people will come to you for the thing that you have gone through. And so I noticed this was a theme for sensitive people, this empath-narcissist dynamic. And what I had learned about it was, it's very tempting to just point the finger and go, oh, they're a narcissist, a bad person. But what you actually have to do is point the finger back at yourself and go, how did I get into that? What parts of me found myself in a relationship like that? What parts of me had I abandoned or never brought online? So that's really why I created the course back then. And I thought I'd never do it again. I never wanted to. I never planned to. I'd hear people say over and over, that course was one of the most important courses I've ever done from you. So I just, a year ago, I thought, yeah, I'll do it next year. And so I refilmed the whole thing many months ago now before the tour. And it's starting in September. So it's guiding people through the process. So if you may have just come out of one of these relationships, you might be years beyond it, but you're still picking on reclaiming pieces of yourself. So that's why I did it. So it's called Empaths and Narcissists 2.0, because it's the fully updated version of the course. I was also struck how different the energy is doing that course now, all these years later. And of course, in the world, we have a few more demonstrations of narcissism flying around. So
I won't ask you for examples. I think it's painfully obvious at a time like this, Touchwood.
So I think the world is in a healing arc around it. So that's why I thought I'll do it one more time. And this time I'll update it. And we spent many weeks filming it and preparing it, and we're still preparing it. So yeah, that will come out in September. And the through line of that course is break your pattern and create healthy relationships. Because for many of us, we replay the pattern until we learn it. You know, often you'll have a slightly less extreme version of it one or two times again, just to make sure that you've learned the lesson. So I kind of go into the energy of all of it. That's the course.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because just to be completely transparent, I've been harboring the theme coming into today's podcast around power. Mm. Like it seems like this particular moment in time is so much about power. Everything I tune into your body of work, I just keep hearing there is helping people find their own power, the powers to be, the powers at play, the powers that are seen, powers that are unseen. Like there just seems to be this real rut around power. And I'm going to have quite a few questions about that today. But before we dive into that, going
by the way,
back,
I forgot your question, didn't I? The second question you threw me got dropped.
Yeah, that's okay. It was, we can go back there if you wish. It was,
I'll just answer quickly. You asked, why is it that I'm out here? Honestly, I think it's because I started 22 years ago. I've been doing this since 2004. So that's a huge, that's a long period of time. So, you know, I was doing Skype sessions for one-on-one clients in 2004 when no one had heard of such a thing. And I think, to your point, I think more and more people are feeling the call to both experience therapeutic healing for themselves and bring it to others, whether you do it in a very formal career way or whether you do it in your personal life. You know, you're the one handing books to people or willingly giving advice. And so, you know, I think for me, part of why I'm out there now is because I've done it for 22 years. I didn't quit. I kept trying to evolve with the times, and I also, as the work grew and as it got more successful and I had extra money come in beyond my rent and beyond what I needed to live, I hired people. So, you know, a lot of people will often comment on how prolific I look, and it is true that I'm constantly creating and constantly in response to what's going on. But, you know, it takes a village, and there are, you know, there are 18 of us here now doing everything we do. So not everyone is full time, but, you know, still 18 people is a little tribe.
Helps make the movement move, for sure. And yeah, to that point, I think it's staying rooted for that amount of time. I mean, I remember when I started podcasting, I was looking at other podcasters and just trying to understand the recipe of how to make a podcast work, right? And universally, didn't matter if it was a health podcast or a business podcast or a spirituality podcast or whatever, there weren't that many spirituality podcasts back then, but no matter what the podcast, the teacher, like the podcaster themselves, all said one shape, form or the other of the same thing. How did you get to people? How did you get such a prolific podcast? How did you get to where you were going? And the answer was just some shape, form of, I didn't quit.
Yeah.
I didn't quit.
It kind of is that simple. It sounds annoying, but it's true.
When I started my podcast, there was a cohort of about 60 of us that went through, setting up our podcast, and I'm the only one that's left standing. it's pretty trippy. It's pretty trippy.
Yeah,
I think we all have these intentions, but seeing them through. Yeah,
I think the other thing that's tricky, I think, these days versus when I started, is we didn't have social media back then. You know, I didn't have a Facebook page till I think 2011, and I think there can be an illusion in this world of, oh, well, that person's reaching loads of people, so that means they're really good. Or why isn't my stuff reaching it and everyone? Well, it's not easy. Like, it, you know, and also you do, if you want to reach people on social media, they've made it such that they will throttle certain people's reach, or you have to pay for an advert to get it seen by people. So I would just say to people, try not to worry too much about, certainly don't compare yourself to someone who's been doing it for a few years. But be really clear about your devotion to why you're doing it, because it will test you. And even if you're, let's say, successful, it's not easy. It can be challenging, and there will be personal challenges, and there will be, as you know, technology challenges and all the stuff that goes with it. I think you've got to want it enough to be willing to go through a growth arc with it, and for that growth arc to continue as long as you choose to do it. And I think that's part of it too. It's like anything, you have to stick with it and do the reps, basically.
Yeah, and finding that why is super helpful. For me, it was just conscious conversation. As long as we're in conscious conversation, I'm happy to put up with the rest, in touch with however shape or whichever form it came in, as we are here today. You talked about giving yourself space. And you gave yourself some space, and there was a cleanse, there was a purge, there was a shifting of things. I mean, even in today's, it's weird that sounds like a luxury for so many of us tuning into this podcast, to give yourself 3 weeks. Talk to us if you're okay with, I mean, just the times that we're in, it seems like we're spinning on a top. It's all happening really fast. Like,
yes. Yeah,
tell us about the times that we're in from your worldview, Lee. From what you're tuned into, and also like the Z's as well. Like,
absolutely.
It's an interesting time.
And I'll quickly just qualify, you know, taking 3 weeks off. Of course, I didn't really take 3 weeks off. That was the plan. That was the intention. But I found myself creeping into a few work meetings. And there was
exactly.
Someone,
you still, you know, got I's to dot and T's to cross, right?
Yeah,
like, it's,
you know,
crazy.
And I didn't mind. What I did take a break from was working for and with the public, because I could feel that I would need it, especially after doing, you know, 16 dates in 5 weeks across North America. The reason I'm pausing on you saying that is it did feel like a luxury to be able to take that. And the irony is it didn't feel like luxury to take that time.
When you were in it, yeah.
In my head, I was like, oh, great. You know, people go, what are you going to do? You're going to lie in the garden.
I'm going to find a bathrobe, really, you know, and put my feet up.
in my fantasy mind. And in a way, that was in itself, that was its own education for me, because it was like, oh, you've got some old idea of like what the world is now and what a holiday is. And it's actually quite hard for me to fully disconnect from what's going on in the world. I mean, I think it's hard for most of us. So anyway, I wanted to qualify that. But
thank you.
To your point about the world, I think one of the most challenging things about this time is we're in a very prophesized time of unrest, uncertainty, geopolitical events that are destabilizing, climate events that are destabilizing and impactful, the rise of darker energies that might want to, whether they want it to look like a war or whether they want it to look like people being more divided amongst themselves. I think that is the shadow side of what we're in as a world. And I think for those of us who remember, say, the 90s or the 80s or the, you know, even the early, you know, the 2000s, I think it's quite impactful to walk through that as an energy field. And I think about the people I meet who are in their 70s and 80s who are walking through it. And I'm like, wow, you have seen some change, because the climate is so different. And there is this, I think, very intense energy in the world. I felt it when I was touring and I was going to all these different cities. You know, I would just walk and pay attention and see how people were looking, feeling, being. And of course, cities are always a skewed example, because if you go to smaller towns or local, more community-based places, you can feel softer energy. But cities are a good example of seeing how are people doing with all of this. And for me, there is the overarching thing I could feel was how exhausting these times are for everyone. Very tiring times to go through. It doesn't mean that's all it is. And it doesn't mean you can't be having the best time of your life right now in some areas of your life. There might be certain things in your life right now that are the most joyous, the most impactful, the most than they've ever been. But just the temperature of the world, literally, there is this kind of overwhelm. And yet within it, and this is the interesting part, spiritual energy is ratcheting up in people's lives, whether people are coming to it through visitations from angels or dead loved ones or who've passed over. More people are having more mystical experiences in the world with the land, people reporting ET experiences. All of that is very strong right now. And that's one of the things my guides, the Z's, had said. They said, you're going to go through times on Earth that will, in a way, dismantle your old world. And in tandem with that, you will see a massive rise in consciousness. And at the time they said that, maybe 15 years ago, I remember thinking, oh, I had an idea of what that would look like. But what I'm seeing is it's very varied and it's very personal. Recently, I was talking to someone who was upset about someone that they knew in the spiritual field who was known, who had now gone to Jesus and Christ consciousness and religion, which we're seeing a lot, and vice versa. I've also seen people walk away from religion during this time, or, you know, shift into spirituality. And the message my guides have always given me is it doesn't really matter how you are finding faith for yourself. How your faith makes you behave toward others, that's very interesting. So, you know, I've always said that I personally have never grown up in religion, but I support any religion that helps people love each other more and become more of who they're here to be and live a more spirit-filled life that's harmonic. I don't support religions disguised as war machines. You know, that a lot of religion will try and annihilate certain groups or certain people and say it's in the name of God. And it's like, well, who's God? Because there's a God on the other side of the world that the group you're trying to kill are also believing in. So I think the reason I share that is just, it's one of the themes I put in this month's energy update. There is this weird almost breakdown around what spirituality, religion, faith is. I'm a big believer in Christ consciousness and Jesus. I can connect to that energy and still connect to other energies. I don't believe I have to be ring-fenced into seeing that a certain way. So, you know, that's what I was just saying to my friend. I said, yeah, there are those who do that and they point the finger back at where they were and try and destroy it. And there are those who go, oh, I've grown into this. And that's okay if that's how they're now experiencing their faith. But I think the reason faith is becoming more important for people is in times of turmoil and trouble, people start to go within to look for something that can support them, especially when things outside seem less stable or less predictable or less holding of you than ever before.
Yeah, that uncertainty and that less holding is, can totally feel that in the air. What I'm hearing is this, there's a dismantling almost for a remantling to happen at this time. One of the things that stayed with me somewhere along in your energy updates is you said you'd rather be stuck in a lift with someone kind and open-hearted than someone spiritually learned who isn't kind and open-hearted.
Yes.
There's something about that that really stayed with me, because it makes me wonder sometimes. There's so many things about that, but one of them that's, you know, a predisposition as well. Because I've met some people that have just arrived on the planet kind. You know, they never studied any of the work that you've studied. They've never listened to one of your updates. They've never listened to my podcast. They're just kind souls, you know? I've got family members like this. Yeah, I mean, what is that? Do you think some of those people just, they get it from another life or they just come in a little bit more whole? But then there's also this whole theme around, you know, it's a big ode to integration as well in many ways as well. I mean, I just wanted to. Yeah, you mentioned that, so it just came up for me.
I love that you bring this up. And my perspective on this is that we are a culture who has wrongly been taught to worship the construct rather than the effect the construct gives us. So you can be a very kind atheist. Being an atheist doesn't make you less kind. Equally, being spiritually learned doesn't make you more kind. And I think, in the same way that in, you know, that you can see religious groups fight each other, I've seen it in the spiritual field as well. You meet people who want to, you know, feel superior to someone who isn't intuitive, or they think because they've done 30 ayahuasca trips that they are now far more enlightened than their grandmother, who they see as closed-minded. But actually, their grandmother might be the one going around the town checking everyone's okay, whereas they're like off on their own, you know, their own journey. And there's nothing wrong with either journey. The problem is when we start pointing the finger at other people's journey. And so I think there can be as much judgment in the spiritual community as there is in any community, because, you know, humans are in the spiritual community. And I think for a long time, certainly when I was coming up, even I had this belief a bit in my late teens and early 20s, when I was first reading books and I was taking myself off to self-growth workshops and spiritual workshops. I think I thought that spirituality was going to make everything better. And that's why we were doing it. It's like, it's going to make everything better and we're going to be enlightened and there's going to be no distress. And actually, that's not Earth school. There are certainly aspects of spirituality and connection to a faith that can root you and that can help you be a better person in the world and help you experience the world in a better way. But we're here on an evolutionary path. And I think too often the construct has been proclaimed as the thing. So it's like Catholicism is the way, or angel cards are the way, or, you know, whatever it is, raw food juicing is the way. And the truth is, perhaps the people who proclaim that, for them, maybe it was. Or they've decided that they're just limited in sight. They're not seeing anyone else in the world because they're so obsessed with their own raw juice lifestyle and they think everyone else is wrong, that they've put two and two together and come up with five. So the reason I say that, and I've said that a few times from stages too, is was very aware when I first started doing this work. I went from being a student of self-growth and spirituality to sometimes being a teacher in that arena in 2004. And I'm still a student. I always will be. But what I noticed was this tendency to give our power away to teachers, to teachings, to books, to philosophies. And as I met more of the humans behind some of those things, I was like, oh, we're all still human. And equally, if people project onto me, oh, it must be amazing. You know, you've got the Z's, everything must just be perfect. And I'm like, no, I'm human and I'm going through all my own evolution too. Yeah, it's not the kind of life I had 30 years ago, that's for sure. Because my vantage point, my perspective is so different now. But it doesn't mean those parts of me that were 5 years old and 10 years old have been annihilated. They're also growing through me. And so I think that's where my statement came from, because I'd met such brilliant atheists that I would love to be around. And equally, I'd met some spiritual people who were using their spirituality as superiority or as a mask. And again, it's okay. They can do what they want. They can be who they want. We have to decide who we are, how we want to interact, and what's important to us. That goes back to the empath narcissist dynamic. I think when you come out of one of those relationships, you're often in grief, in horror, in shock. You can't quite believe that someone could have behaved that way. And then, you know, once you get through the more victim aspects of the consciousness, and I'm not making light of that because some people go through horror with narcissists. So I'm not wanting to make light of being a victim to a narcissist in your life. But you do have to get to a point where you recognize, where were my blind spots? How did I walk into that? How do I change myself so that I don't experience that again? Because that was the lesson I was being shown. That was the learning from this. I have to take a learning from this and use it to reclaim myself rather than live in the ashes of feeling annihilated by a relationship or an authority figure.
I hope I don't date you wrongly, but I think you're coming up on 50 or you've just arrived at 50.
No, yeah, I turned 50 April 28th this year.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you.
What's something you would have wished you would have, if you could send back a couple of teachings back to your 20-year-old self, what would you send back?
I would say the biggest one is reassuring myself that the things that I was struggling with then, I will overcome or achieve. I think a big thing for me was, it was so important to me to find love and partnership. That was so important to me from a young age. And maybe it was more important to me because, you know, growing up gay and knowing I was gay young, at a time where it still wasn't as open or allowed as it is now. And even now, there's still a lot of problems.
There's still taboos, you know, around it. Yep.
Massive. And there are, you know, in some countries, there are laws where people can be killed for it. So I had this deep desire for partnership and great love. But the messaging I got from society was, oh, no, you won't have that.
Disallowed.
Yeah. And it's been really interesting to, you know, right now, I am very happily partnered. And in a way, that was really the last thing I wanted. You know, everything else, I was like, okay, if I die next week, that was the last thing I wanted. I wanted to experience this great soulmate love. And I had a vision of him for 2.5 years before he walked into my life last fall. So that, I would say, was a personal thing. But then also, I wish I could go back and explain that so much of the wounding I was carrying was inherited and it wasn't all my fault. The self-judgment I had on me, how hard I would be on myself. Yeah, I wish earlier I had understood, oh, wow, these are just wounds that get thrown around and we imbibe them and become them. And of course, that's why I went into self-growth and spirituality at the age of 16. To heal and to learn. I wish I could have just, you know, given myself that awakening back then. It took many more years to get to that point.
Thank you so much for sharing that vulnerability. Inherited from where?
Well, and this is what my guides have explained. And it's funny because I came more from a self-growth background than a channeling background. So I was always looking at things through human patterns and through psychology and, you know, all of
the behavioral sciences.
What might now be called to some degree neuroscience, although it didn't have that label back then. And then I had this, you know, blast of meeting my guides and them telling me a lot and me asking loads of questions. They explain that we inherit wounded behavior from each other. So, for example, if you were a child and you came up to me, let's say I'm your uncle, and you hand me this piece of art that you've done, and it's a love offering from you. It's you going, "I love you, uncle. Here you go. I made this for you." And I reacted badly to the painting and kind of judged you for it and said, "Well, that doesn't look like a rocket. That's not very good." Your heart's going to break. You're going to crumble. And perhaps, not for everyone maybe, but perhaps you'll go, "Oh, I can't draw." You will believe the wound that's in me, the uncle, that I just projected onto you, because maybe I was never supported. Maybe I was always judged. Maybe I'm bitter about the fact that you're so bright and happy and I don't feel bright and happy. But because I have no self-awareness and no self-awareness about the way I'm behaving, I just bite at you. And that bite takes a bite out of your chest, takes a bite out of your mind. And in order to protect yourself, you then develop self-judgment and hesitancy around giving gifts. And you carry that maybe for decades. It may never break from you. You might be one of the best gift givers and one of the best artists in your, you know, country. But we don't know that now because you got stopped. Someone handed their wound to you. And in order to protect yourself from having that wound thrown at you again, you created judgment inside yourself first. "I will judge my own art so that I never experience that again. I will stop myself from giving a gift because it didn't go well." And until we learn to see that and understand the why and how did that behavior start, I'll unpick that behavior. We're a walking wound. And it's a very wounded world. I think that's the other thing. It's not that probably people listening to this, tuning in on this, you probably aren't someone who is like that. And you probably have a good group of people in your life where, you know, you're playing out love and support and connection with each other. But equally, I think that was one of the things I really saw with traveling, because I'm, you know, I live a fairly local life when I'm at home. I don't, you know, I stay fairly in the local community, the local stores, and I like that. But then when you go out into the world and you see the way that people are interacting, you're like, "Oh, wow." You know, you realize that the way we all behave in our bubble, perhaps people who like this podcast, might be different to the way the majority are behaving. It doesn't mean the majority aren't capable of meeting you in love, in kindness and care, but you might have to be the first one to do it. You might have to be the initiate. So I think that's one of the things that's incumbent upon any of us who have studied this for ourselves or done the work of this for ourselves, which is ongoing, but it might be that you recognize, "Oh, I can see in this conversation between these two that he's slightly criticizing her and he doesn't realize he is, and she's taking it really badly. I'll just intervene." "Oh, yeah. John, I think what you're trying to say to Danielle is, do you mean that?" "Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess I did mean that." And then Danielle softens. So sometimes we are injecting ourselves not to be in charge of anything or in control or to interfere, but to go, "Oh, I can see what's going on. And there's a wound being created here. And maybe if I just say something or smile or something, I might help break the energy pattern." So that's kind of what I mean. It's like you can help wound repair all the time. You can't always, you know, you might be tired or it might not be your battle. It might be too big a wound for you to intervene on. But I see that playing out all the time because I'm equally used to being around people who are pretty, a good number of people who are pretty open, pretty good communicators. And then when you meet the opposite, it's, you can feel the pain, but the pain probably is in an ego form. So they don't know they're in pain, just like I didn't know the pain I was in when I was 22, you know, and I had strong opinions about things. And now I understand that those strong opinions were fear.
Yeah, it's, thank you so much for taking the time to unpack that, because in the early part of your response, I heard a lot of this live and let live, but then I also, you know, I couldn't help but reflect on the fact that people do want to help as well. They want to help. Like when they see someone sort of, they just don't want to let a drowning person drown. And to your point, you know, if you can see the intention around, you know, you can obviously weigh in a little bit, but obviously, you know, you can take a horse to water, but they've got to be willing to drink as well. There's a whole dynamic in there.
And I want to shout out that there are, you know, there's the example I just gave. And then there are amazing people who are here wired as activists, and they're willing to go into some of the darkest, most difficult areas. We all have our wiring, and you'll know, like you'll feel the impulse and you'll act on it. And equally, there will be times where you'll go, "Ooh, I can't get in the middle of that," or "I tried and I got pushed out." Okay. You know, so there is no rule for it. I don't think. I think it's and that's where you have to be in possession of your senses. Because if you're not in possession of your intuition and your feelings about things, you can't always make the best decision about how and when to intervene.
I'm hearing you're not exactly centered if you're not in that position.
Yeah, or you might be coming at it from an ego standpoint and not paying attention to the sensitivity required. Like I go back to when I used to do one-on-one sessions, and I did them for 15 years. So I did about 4,000 over that time. And then of course I've worked with tens of thousands now in workshop rooms for the last 20 years around the world. As someone who works as a healer or a facilitator, whatever label you want to give me, my job is to help people draw out where they want to draw something out. My job is not to drag them somewhere. That's not my style. There are those people, and some people love that. They want to go to someone who's going to tell me what all my problems are and give it to me hard, you know, and they're a bit more masochistic in that way, and that works for them. But for me, it's more about feeling the energetics. And sometimes you don't want to overwhelm someone. And the way you know you're overwhelming someone is you pay attention to their energy while you're talking to them. So the, you know, Amrit, the other example would be, and you meet this sometimes, and this might be one of the spiritual people I was talking about. You meet someone who has decided that everyone should just be fearless. And so they meet you, or maybe they meet you and me, and let's say you and I have decided to go to some deep sea diving shark event. I would be nervous. It's not my thing.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I would be nervous. So let's say they zero in on me and they come at me really hard. They're not paying attention to what I need. What I actually need is to perhaps be encouraged and to feel safe, to be drawn into it. But you do meet people who go, "Oh, I'm going to fix this." And they say something or do something and they don't pay attention to the fact that the person then retracts and they go in harder because they're not really feeling things out. That's what I'm talking about with our senses. And I think most people watching or tuning into this will probably have an idea of what I'm talking about because it will be their reality too.
Yeah, it's it brings into a light point I wanted to ask you about today. If we just get meta on what you just described for a sec, because I wanted to understand from you how energy fields interact with each other. Because sometimes I feel like what you're describing is very human and very interpersonal and very related, and it's what we're used to with our senses bumping up against each other. But, I mean, Lee Harris energy, I do wonder if, like, our energetics, I mean, you mentioned this before, like, with narcissists, sometimes, like, we've pulled, like, I don't want to say we're responsible for drawing in narcissists, but some part of, like, we're having an interaction, yeah. Do our fields, like, how does that work in with respect if we zoom out and look at each other's fields? And our fields, like, our auras? Or what's going on there, like energy fields?
Great question. So the one thing about energy fields is they're very wide. You know, they actually can extend very far outside your body, and it is different to the human senses. But to your point about why would we have drawn that to ourselves? Well, this is the interesting thing about developing your intuition and your discernment and your senses. You have to have some life experiences in order to do that. So sometimes you'll bring a narcissist to yourself. It could be karmic. You could know this person in another lifetime. You could maybe in another lifetime, you didn't treat them very well, or they felt you didn't treat them very well, so they have no care for you this time. But it's also usually not that human. What my guides have explained is we choose to pour ourselves into these life experiences for learning as much as for evolution. So sometimes a tough lesson is the thing that gets you to the next place. So your energy field, you might say to yourself, well, why didn't I feel that when I met this narcissist that I went through hell with? You'll usually feel an attraction. That's the irony. It's not that you're asleep at the wheel. It's that something in this person you will be attracted to. And even if some part of you isn't sure why, or perhaps they're moving in strong on you and they're saying the right thing or doing the right thing, and some part of you is not completely settled, but another part of you is going, well, that was quite a nice thing to say. But you're not in possession of yourself enough that you go, hang on a second, let me stop this. Next time you will. But the first time this happens to you, you're like, oh, I'm getting a bit love bombed. You don't even interpret it. Perhaps there are things that the narcissist sees in you that are weak or vulnerable areas. And they know if they build those up, you're going to bond with them or connect with them. And then the behavior turns. So it's, you know, get what I want from you. I need to, they do it in a very clever way. And I also want to say that I do not believe that many of them are aware they're even doing it. They're living in a realm of manipulation in themselves that is just their programming, their ego. It's not like they're sitting there going, how can I get Amrit? Okay, I'll compliment him for a week and then I'll have him, ha ha ha. Which in a way I think is a healthier way of seeing it. They are essentially working with wounds, and your energy field and your aura brought you into contact with them, and there will be parts of your energy field that they are a match for. Could be low self-esteem, could be I've never been loved. Wow, this is the most loving person I've ever met. There are different ways that we get hooked, and usually we actually get to heal those hooks on the other side of the dynamic. So you have a bad breakup with someone, you can look back on the romantic relationship and go, that was awful. But what was good? Like, what was it at the beginning that was feeding you, serving you, that felt like alignment? Now you're learning deeper. Now you're going, no, alignment should be much richer than that, because there were three things I was aligned on and I went, okay. And then all of a sudden I'm leaving battered and bruised. How did that happen? It can be karmic. It can be a learning lesson that we need to go through. And often it's a place where we either can't believe that someone would behave that way, or it made us feel good to be the empath with them. You know, they were the one that was a bit devoid of love and we were able to give it. So that also straightens empaths out. There are some empaths who will give too much. And I know in certain areas, not in every area of my life, but in certain areas, that's been my story. And I had to learn the hard way not to do that. So we are here to learn from relationship, and we do attract different souls into our life for learning that will allow us to become more of, if you like, our destined self. That's why your potential in a long life is huge. You know, who you start this world as can be wildly different by the time, if you reach your 70s, 80s, 90s, 100s, you might look back and go, oh my God, wow, well, there's still some things that I align with. But for the spiritual soul, for the soul who is growth focused, there should be and will be quite a lot of evolutionary growth that you'll go through as you go through your life.
That 20-year-old that you're sending messages back to earlier, if we were to see and speak to him now and cast forward to the 50-year-old you, what's completely blown his mind, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, I think what has blown his mind Huh. It's a really good question, Amrit. What has blown his mind? I'll ask that part of myself. The world. On a personal level, yes, the work that I ended up doing, because I would never have thought this would be my work. You know, at 20, I was headed towards the music industry, and that's what I thought I was destined to do. Or at 21, I was. But I would say the world. The idea I had about what the world was at 20 is very different now. I had a younger, more naive, which I think is normal. You know, I think that's the path, isn't it? For whether you're spiritual or not, and you have a different outlook on the world now, I think the path of your teens and your 20s is you're trying to make your way, you're trying to forge. There's only so much you're going to see of life in those years. And there's only so much you're going to be able to access. And of course, it depends on your starting point. I wasn't born as a very enlightened young boy, like I now think some kids have the opportunity to be if they were raised in the right circumstances. So I'll be interested to see what it's like to be 25 for some of those people now, you know?
Can I ask you to ask the Z's? Because you mentioned enlightenment. I picked up somewhere that they mentioned something about there are 8 areas of mastery for enlightenment to come through. Do you know this teaching of theirs, or can you ask them about it by any chance for us?
Yeah, this was about 15 years ago that they first brought this concept in. And it's that we become enlightened when we have mastered 8 areas of our life. And of course, it can then be more areas. But for example, an area for you, let's say one of your areas was finding your voice. So obviously doing this podcast is a huge area of mastery for you.
Because
you are finding your voice through it. And of course, what we do in our work also has to mirror our personal life. So it doesn't mean you won't still have personal life growth around finding your voice. But I think often when you stretch yourself in one area, it can have a positive knock-on effect on the other areas. So let's say one of your areas of mastery is finding your voice. One of your areas of mastery is open-hearted communication with the people that you love. Another area of mastery is you're an amazing designer. Another area of mastery is something that you are able to use your physical body to create. So the more we stack up these areas of mastery, what they explained was you start to strive less and experience more. Because for most of us, there is some kind of level of achievement that we are striving towards. Doesn't mean achievement as in, you know, again, I shared the thing about, you know, wanting to experience what I term to be soulmate love.
Yeah.
That's an achievement. It's not something you can buy on Amazon or, you know, make happen in a forced way, but it's an area for me that was healing and that was destined. So for you, it can be any of these things that are important to you, but once you've racked up 8 of them, you are now no longer hunting the mastery of experiences. You have also created mastery in several different areas. So mastery starts to become your state, not the area you're focusing and learning about mastery. They've also said this about creatives. They said, if you are someone who's good at creativity in a few different areas and you try something new, you are going to see that it will be easy for you to transpose creative energy into a different area. Doesn't mean every single painter is going to be an amazing potter or even want to do pottery, but it means that if they now apply that gift of creativity that they've already mastered in painting, the next creative endeavor they go to, it will be way easier for them because they've already mastered that relationship of creativity in their body. So once you have 8 masteries alive in you, you start to live from a more, let's say, detached state around what is happening and just being present to what is happening without too many attachments or resistances to what's happening.
And just to be clear for everybody's sake, everybody's got their own 8 areas of mastery is what I'm hearing from you.
Yeah, we've got more. We've each got more. But what they've explained is you go through levels. So you will have incarnated onto this planet. Again, let's go back to one of your themes for your life is finding your voice and being an orator and being someone who helps others find their voice. So voice being one of your areas. Let's say you didn't do it. You know, you're 65, you're miserable. You've kind of shut down on your dreams. You're not living a happy life. You're living what you think others want of you or you should be doing. And you're miserable because you never yet opened that part of your life. Now, at 65, you might start a podcast or become a public speaker or whatever it is that starts to open that energy out, or start telling everyone in your life the truth when before you were too scared to. But because you've done it earlier, you then get to go on to other things. So it's like we go through levels of growth in our life, and there are certain themes we come in with. Yours might have been forgiveness, finding my voice, and expressed creativity. And the reason that we do this is not just personal. We then become an emblem of it for others. So if you had gone through terrible grief and come out the other side, you are going to be far more useful for me to come and sit with than someone who's never gone through terrible grief and just throws me platitudes. Not just because you will likely say better things because of your understanding, but because I will be sitting with you in your presence, in your energy field that has gone through this thing I am currently going through that I think is going to kill me. And you are the evidence. He's gone through it. He has become it. Energetically, I'm sitting with someone who has gone through it. It won't take my grief away overnight, but it will give me true hope and an energetic roadmap. So this is also why we master these areas. We master these areas so that we can walk them around the world and share them with each other. It's no different to that lovely person that you meet in the shop one day when you're having a bit of a rough day, or you're just a bit, I don't know, down or inside yourself and you can't get your frequency up. And there's someone in the shop, whether it's someone in the aisle or someone working at the shop, and they just turn and they go, "Hi, how are you?" And they give you a big smile and you go, "Oh." And at first, you know, I always...
Wakes you up from the daydream.
Yeah. So many times I've had those moments where I'm a bit more like this, or I'm in something and then someone just smiles, and they're not trying to manipulate, get anything from you. They're just sharing what they can. And boy, does it hit you like a ray of sunshine, and you feel it, and you know, you often respond similarly. So that's why we learn our unique areas of mastery. And that's also why comparison to others is such a trap, because none of us are here to be carving copies of others. Let yourself be inspired by others. Let yourself recognize they might be doing something or in possession of something that maybe it's important for you to develop that, and then be honest about that and go, "Well, I'll put some work into developing it," or maybe not. You know, maybe you're just supposed to admire it. I used to have a fantasy that I wanted to be a modern classical pianist. I'm 50. I have not sat at the piano yet and done the scales required. So I've learned, no, you're just going to admire them. Maybe that was another life for you. And in this life, you're doing these things and you're being those things, and you get to experience the richness of watching someone else in their brilliance and being the recipient of their brilliance.
Thank you so much for unpacking that. Really, really helpful, because I think that brings me to the point around where we are right now. From some of the teachings that I've tuned into around the Z's and yourself, tuning into these 800-year cycles becomes really, really important for some reason. We're in a cycle right now. I'm not sure where we are in the cycle, but it has seemed consistently, not just now, I mean, as an astrologer right now, yes, very much, we've got lots of Leo energy, these eclipses coming up in Leo, personal power is a whole thing. But your teachings and the teachings from the Z's have seemed like these few years that we're in, like 2025, we could have gone into World War III, but there's an opportunity for us to avert that, and we seem to have miraculously somehow done that. Maybe it's not a miracle, maybe it has taken a lot of intention and drive from people. But it seems like there are a lot of powers to be. There are a lot of powers at play that we can see politically in the world. There's also the unseen forces that you've spoken to about the world before, like the Earth is a really special place from that vantage and worldview. And then also personally, these individuals that we feel so small in the grand cosmos of things, obviously we have a lot to offer as well in and around this, around personal power as well. Before we dive into this conversation around power, there is a thing that has been present that I've tuned into, and you mentioned it earlier as well, that I just want to clean up some of the energetics around this if possible, because I know that when we start talking about this, there is some of this energy of like, again, to the point of power, there are pull forces greater than us. There is something malefic happening. Watch out. And I mean, not to make it super personal, but yes, if that's okay, it takes a toll on you to be channeling some information like this from the Z's as well. Like your dynamic around for you as Lee, when there's this like heavier sort of darker sort of content coming through from the Z's, how do you navigate that? How does that weigh on you personally? Like, yeah, how do you go with that, Lee? And then we'll dive into personal power if that's okay.
Yeah. You ask such great questions, by the way. I've known that about you, but I don't know. I really appreciate the way you. Yeah.
Thank you. That means a lot. No, having the living that I have, yeah, in touch with that, yeah, literally, no, is the really highest praise you can give me. So thank you so much, Lee. Really.
I'll be honest. It doesn't always sit comfortably with me at all, and I think, you know, I agreed to go on a lot of podcasts over the last year. And before, I was always too busy. You know, I had my own podcast. I was running a business. And
sorry to interrupt. Now you're free.
No, sorry.
I should not interrupt. I always get railed in the comments for interrupting. But sorry.
No, not at all. I don't think you've interrupted me at all. So I agreed to do all these podcasts, and I have a brilliant person running my business now, so I was able to step out of some of that stuff, which, you know, is taxing and tiring and all of that. So I agreed in exchange, okay, well, I will do more of these appearances that we often, you know, get very nicely asked to do, but I usually turn them down. And I'll tell you, it's been a growth for me to do it, because it's one thing when I'm doing my own work with the Z's, with my own audiences, and I understand what we're doing. It's another thing when you go on many different podcasts, and especially when people talk to the Z's, there have been some, you know, great conversations, apparently, according to the people who've watched them. I haven't. But you are subjecting yourself to that person's questions and where it goes. And I think for me, because all of my work, all of these years, I've been able to facilitate people through things, my concern is always when the Z's go there in response to people's questions, often it makes people ask more questions and they want to ask me, well, what does that mean? And I'm like, well, I didn't channel it, and I don't, like you, I don't have a full understanding of everything that they're saying. And I also can't vouch for what they're saying around the stuff that we haven't yet seen play out. What I can tell you is they've talked about so many of these things over the last 25 years that I have seen play out now. Otherwise, I wouldn't still be doing this publicly. So I think that's always my concern. My goal with this work has always been to help empower people. That's my goal.
Boom.
So, especially in this day and age where you see a lot of podcast clips that you, the interviewee, have no control over because it's someone else's show, it's someone else's social media team. And there have been moments where I'm like, wow, that's quite the headline. I don't remember that being the focus of our conversation. And so, you know, I'm weighing all of that up at the moment and questioning what parameters I might want to put around who and when I will let the Z's have conversations with people, purely because I think some of the nature of what they say, until time has played out a bit more, it can be very triggering. And I don't want to leave someone triggered. Now, what I always hear, and I've even said this to my team and to a few friends who will occasionally watch stuff I've done, they always say, yeah, but it doesn't feel that way when you're doing it or when the Z's are doing it. But still, there is a question mark for me over how helpful is it to go into some of that darker stuff. and I'm still questioning it, and I'm still and the other thing is I've done it now. You know, there's loads of conversations out there now. The Future Human, a book I did with Regina Meredith. Regina was always asking me to do more of the shadow side of things, and she's a brilliant ambassador, not just for that, but she's always been an investigative journalist around
that
stuff.
That's one of her areas of mastery for sure.
Yeah, she's brilliant at it, and so she was an amazing partner to do that with. But I'm also, for me personally, no, I'm not imagining I'm going to be doing this for the next 4 years. I'm right now in this very moment. In a bit of a reinvention and questioning what is going to be the best. I'm not resigning or retiring yet, but I'm seriously questioning what is the best use of my time and energy in the coming 5 years and figuring out how to apply that. And that will take time. I won't have the answer for that probably until next spring or summer, and it's in process. Yeah.
Thank you so much for honoring the question. The thread that I've always known your work to be is that, you know, it's got to be empowering, which is, yeah. So let's go there. Power. I mean, personal power versus all the powers to be. Why is this so ripe at the fore right now? Are we somewhere interesting in an 800-year cycle? Is that what's going on? Is it just as convenient as that to say something? Or like, what's actually going on at this time, Lee? If you don't mind, you know, where we are now and sort of what you see transpiring through the end of this year or whatever timeline you've sort of seen through 2027, like, yeah, what you see going forward for where we are now and the implications of power going forward.
Well, firstly, I know that you've had the brilliant Pam Gregory on this show, haven't you?
Oh, my goodness. I feel very blessed to do the work that I do. Yes,
I love Pam.
Yes, I have.
So Pam and I, we've teamed up several times over the years, and we did an annual update, which is on YouTube, for this year. And I remember when we did it back in January, I felt, nervousness is the wrong word, but I felt some charge around the second half of this year particularly.
Can I use the word apprehension? Did you have apprehension?
Yeah, I could feel that there were going to be some more seismic events. Now, I did not know what they were, and I channeled my themes, and you know, I'd have to go back and look at them in detail. And Pam channeled the astrology, but she said it. We hadn't shared what we got with each other, and she said it fitted the astrology that the second half of the year is a bit more wild. Now, here's the weird thing I will say. The world, and I mean, we're in it. We've just gone through the month of July, you know, the just in the last few days, Spain and France, wildfires. That is not normal. That is new. We're seeing lots of corruption in power systems, and we're seeing lots of quite overt, what you could call governmental control in areas that previously there wasn't governmental control to such a degree. So there's a lot flying around right now, and it's rising to the surface. And what my guides have always said is it would have to get worse before it would get better, which of course none of us love hearing. We of course wish it could be, oh, can't we have a new world now, and can't it be easier for everybody? But they also said that it was going to take certain events for more of the public to wake up and start to say no and not just comply or think, oh, well, this, I guess, is how things have to be then. This is where we're going. The disconnect between those in power and those of us they have power over is going to get stronger in these times. And the other thing they've also said is there are a lot of good people trying to improve what's going on behind the scenes that we'll never see, benevolent spirits and forces who are working on that behalf. And equally, there are off-world forces that are working on the same side of the dark, if you like, or feeding into that. So the reason I think power is coming up is I think we were all sold a limited version of power as human beings. And many of us were taught, you know, certainly my generation, less so the younger people now, but, you know, oh, you do this and get this job and you can get married and you can have a house and you can pay a mortgage and you can go on holiday for maybe 2 weeks a year if you're lucky, and you'll have enough money and you'll pay your taxes and da da da. And maybe within that, you can create a beautiful world. But what we're seeing is a slow erosion of a lot of that, a lot of the liberty and equality that lived in that system. And equally, we're seeing a lot more tightening of human freedoms and human liberty, and it's becoming more obvious. So I think the reason power is up for people right now is everything I just described. But the interesting thing about the second half of this year, and this is why I find this so interesting, this time we're in, I just did the energy update for August. And in it, one of the themes said, you're going to find this next few months far easier to make things happen in your life than you might have for the last three or four. So even as we're going through this, and because we're going through this, I think people are finding their personal power. They are no longer feeling as, shall we say, seduced by promises in the outside world that either don't come to manifest. I mean, a classic there is politics, isn't it? You know, you're often told to vote for a leader because they're going to do X, Y, and Z. So people go, oh, great, they're going to sort this out for us. I'll vote for them. And then, of course, they get voted in and it doesn't happen. So I think there is a personal power that people are coming back to where they're realizing they are a bit less held than they thought they were, that there are agendas that are not serving humanity. And equally, there are so many courageous, heartfelt, and brilliantly minded people in all different walks of life and all different arenas who are showing us what's possible in the future. And they're coming up with new innovations and they're showing us what's possible, or they're becoming a justice warrior on behalf of a marginalized group and inviting other people to do it with them. And the people who feel the truth around that are going and doing it. So I feel like what I just said about these people that I'm describing, we are going to see a massive wave of those people in the next 2-3 years becoming more visible. And it doesn't mean they will be allowed to do everything they want to do. In fact, it will be the fact that they rise to do it and sometimes the opposition they are met with that will actually make people turn around and go, why are people not allowed to own water anymore, or whatever it is that, you know, is coming in that's actual insanity when you look at it. It's an insane agenda. And I think in years past, the insanity was more about the heartbreak for others. A lot of people would feel for what was going on in a war that wasn't in their country, or a famine that wasn't in their country and seemed very far away. And I think these times what's happening is the cyclone of world change is moving everywhere. And so that in itself is a bit of a unifier. But one of the stages you go through with that is it shakes down everything you used to believe. And that's its own form of awakening. I said that in the July energy update. You know, a lot of people are having an awakening now, but unlike some of us, they didn't come to it through oracle cards or, you know, a Kundalini awakening, which is a nice way to do it, you know, for those of us who were doing it 30 plus years ago and more. And sometimes it isn't that for everyone, no matter when it happens. For sometimes it's losing a loved one or some catastrophe happens in your life that suddenly breaks how you saw reality.
Major mental health issues and stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a very long answer and I'm sorry if I went all around.
Please do not apologize. My God, power is yours to answer as you see fit. Thank you.
I think why I wish I could make it more concise is the same wish that I have, like the rest of us do, that we wish it was more concise. You know, even though I do this work in the world and I work to hopefully help people navigate it, empower them, perhaps give them some heads up that might be helpful, like everyone else, as a human being on this earth going through it, you know, the heartbreak is real. You know, your heart does break quite regularly with some of the things that you see. And I'm saying that not in any way trying to say that's how everyone else should feel. Someone else might be watching this going, you know what, Lee, I've just opted out of knowing anything and I'm keeping my frequency high. And I'm like, great, you do you and you stay there. We need you. It's a little different for me in my wiring and with my job, even though it's a job I could, you know, walk away from, it's a little different for me. And I think that's where I feel this, it's a very tender and sensitive time to navigate for many sensitive people. So it's complicated. But what my guides will say, and they're smiling and laughing right now, going, no, it's great. It's great you're saying all of this. And it's great you said what you just said. Because I think sometimes in spirituality, you think you're not allowed to have your heart broken. You know, people go, well, if I was spiritual, I wouldn't feel heartbroken. I'd just go, oh, it's all fine and it's all meant to be. Yeah, I'm a bit more between two worlds myself. But what they say about this time is we're actually in a period of time where our job is to reclaim power that has been stolen from us. Not that we as an individual human own the earth or anything like that, but power that has been siphoned away from us. Spiritual power, human power, ecological power. We have been disconnected from certain things deliberately. And for the longest time, we didn't know, or it didn't look to most people like we had. And now we're seeing the kind of final throes of those kind of division lines that we're living in on the planet. And within all of it, you can find grace, you can find light, you can find love. But it's a challenging time right now. And I think often we find our power through challenge. Often we find our true innate inner power through challenging times. So that is my conclusion to your question about power at these times. We're seeing power abuse, manipulation, corruption playing out in the outside world. But for humanity at this time, we're also seeing a rise in true internal awakened power of the self, the soul, aligning with the human, and some of the ego stuff melting away, and some of the shadows that we've all imbibed on our journeys beginning to leave us, beginning to leave others. So in a way, it's almost like learning to walk again as a planet. And I think we're just at the beginning. And there are a number of us who are feeling it. And there's a whole load of other people who aren't feeling it yet. But they will. And it will wave through the next, you know, 3 years for sure.
I'm conscious of the time we have left. I'm gonna leave this as an open loop. But yeah, I do wonder if hope is treacherous or the cornerstone of agency. Yeah, Lee Harris. Thank you, Brother Bear. My goodness. It is always such, I can't even say it's a pleasure. I mean, it's more than an honor. It's you bring us back into our heart, man. And I mean, that is just such a beautiful place to reside. And I don't think we're in there often enough. And so thank you so much. Every single time you come on, it's just such an opportunity to spend time and share with you. Thank you so much for all the work you're doing in the world. I'm excited for you coming to Melbourne soon, but my God, you're not just coming to Melbourne. You're doing a whole bunch of stuff all over the world. I'll put links to all of that in the show notes and the description as well. But brother man, thank you so much for you. Really, on behalf of myself and the audience, we appreciate you.
Thank you. And you're very nice, but also, you know, right back at you, because conversations like this don't happen because of one speaker. You know what I mean? The space you hold, the questions you ask, and your own heart and frequency, which I very viscerally felt when I got to give you a hug in Melbourne last year. And I look forward to being back in person with you in Melbourne in March when we're back in New Zealand and Australia next March.
I can't wait. There's not just the tour as well. There's also an energy mastery workshop happening in Melbourne. So lots of good stuff. All of the descriptions of that in the show notes below. Thank you again, Lee.
Thank you so much, Amrit.
At the heart of whispers, where shadows sway, a circle of light, where souls come to pray. Infinity calls as we gather near, in the sacred silence, let go of every fear. Take a breath, let it bloom, fill the room with grace. In this sacred space we find our place. Together we rise, we touch the sky. In the arms of the infinite we learn to fly. Let infinity, where spirit flows free, we find our home, a journey deep within where hearts can roam. With every heartbeat we dance through the light. In the whispers of infinity we shine so bright. Here in the stillness, visions start to bloom, chasing away sorrow, making space for room. Sacred geometry sings, the universe unfolds. Let it speak, let time stand still. In this circle of trust, we're broken, yeah, we heal. Together we laugh, together we sing. In the heart of infinity, we embrace everything. At infinity, where spirit flows free, find our home, a journey deep within where hearts can roam. With every heartbeat of infinity we shine so bright. Oh, 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 oh. Here we weave the tapestry, threads of hope and dreams, every soul connected, bursting at the seams. In the warmth of unity, hand in hand we stand, together we create. Each moment is a strand at infinity, where spirit flows free, we find our home, a journey deep within where hearts can roam. With every heartbeat we dance through the light, in the whispers of infinity. So let the whispers guide you, let the love fill your soul. In infinite embrace, you are perfectly whole. In the heart of infinity, where we're never alone, whispers of peace linger, we finally come home.
There you go, a song about Infinity Spiritual Centre. So what's happening at 550 Anglesey Street? Just go to the website www.infinityspiritualcentre.co.nz and you'll see all the things, all the events that are happening, what's coming up. You can go to the website, you can buy stuff, you can book online with a, get a reading or a healing, and away you go. All easy. I am Barry, it's been The Voice Within. Kakite, Shalom, Namaste, Masala. May your God go with you.
As we gather near in the sacred silence.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.